So, as it is Lymphedema Awareness Month, I thought we'd also have a chat with a therapist who helps people to manage their condition. So joining me on the phone now to talk about his work is Darren Prince. Hiya, Darren. Thanks for talking to me today.
Thank you, Paula. Very happy to be on the air. Thank you.
Fantastic. So you work as a therapist down in sunny Cork. So do you want to maybe start off by telling us about what your job as a therapist entails?
Absolutely. I'm a trained lymphedema therapist, and my role is to help people, first of all, identify at an early stage if they are at risk of developing lymphedema. Mm-hmm. And as we'll hopefully discuss in a short while, the importance of early intervention and education in the fight against lymphedema.
Yeah.
And then if somebody is suffering from the condition, our goal is to bring that swelling down. So lymphedema is an accumulation of fluid in the skin, and it actually in a limb, and it tends to focus on one limb. So very often it can happen either to people who have had some form of cancer, mm-hmm. and as a side effect of that treatment, they may have to have lymph nodes removed, which then causes them to develop swelling.
Yeah.
And other people are born with the condition, so they have an insufficiency. And when that swelling takes off, our goal is to reduce it. So we have many tools at our disposal. And the very first thing that we have is compression garments. So a compression garment is worn, and it helps the muscles to absorb the fluid back into the lymphatic system. Okay?
Right. Yeah.
Then we also perform what's called manual lymph drainage. And a key point about this is manual lymph drainage is a very light touch, hands-on technique.
Mm.
We use our hands to move in a very specific way fluid to areas of the body where there is a working lymphatic system. It is not Swedish massage, and I suppose in a way it should not be considered, even though it is a massage-like therapy. People should not simply say, I need to get some massage for my lymphedema. Because if you have traditional Swedish massage, that's worked nice and vigorously, and it brings lots of nice fresh blood into the area to help your injured muscles and make you feel better. But if somebody has lymphedema, you don't want to bring additional fluid to the area. You want to move it away.
Yeah.
So it's a very specific training that we have. The manual lymph drainage is often done in conjunction with multi-layer bandaging, whereby if we were, for instance, treating somebody intensively for 2 weeks, they might be coming in once a day, once every 2 days, once every 3 days,
right.
And then we put multi-layer bandaging on. And this bandaging is put on to reduce further the amount of swelling in the body. After a period of a week or 2 weeks, the patient then should hopefully have a reduced amount of swelling, and then the appropriate size compression garment is then worn.
Mm.
And just to flag it, the compression garment is designed to maintain the person's limb volume,
right.
Whereas the manual lymph drainage and the multi-layer bandaging is designed to reduce the volume. Then, after that period, we would advise people, and exercise is very important and is a great thing for the treatment of lymphedema. And yet again, it has to be appropriate exercise. If somebody does an exercise which is too vigorous, or if they do something which is too repetitive, then they may end up straining the muscle or end up bringing more blood supply in, and that would be a detrimental
effect. Yeah, making things worse.
If somebody, on the other hand, wasn't doing enough activity, then their weight would increase, and obesity or extra weight has a negative effect on lymphedema.
Yeah, it's really having to manage, very, very sort of fine line about having to manage how to manage the condition.
Well, I suppose that's why it's extremely important that people should go to a trained lymphedema therapist in order for them to get the right advice. Because, as we know, Chinese whispers and people who have, my friend had the same as you and this is what she did, and you must do that. That kind of, that approach wouldn't be good. And I suppose at this moment in time, I should say, as well as being a lymphedema therapist, I I'm a member of the committee of MLD Ireland, which is the professional association of lymphedema therapists in Ireland. In order to be a member of MLD Ireland, you have to undergo repeat training every 2 years. You have to keep your certificates up to date. You have to have your insurance in place. You have to have achieved a specific level of training. So if anybody in Ireland wants to get advice, they should go on to mldireland.com, and that's where they'll be able to get, you know, the right therapist who's professionally trained to look after them.
Yeah, I think it is very much a case that people might have heard of lymphedema, but they wouldn't necessarily know what it involves or what it even is, you know, or how to recognise it.
Well, I suppose the key thing is that if somebody, for instance, notices a tingling or a heaviness in one of their limbs,
right,
especially if they have had some form of treatment, as I said, like cancer treatment, then they must understand that they are at risk. And if you can get to the lymphedema in the early stages, well, then the outcomes are normally very good, because what happens is it stays, the skin doesn't get kind of sticky, or the fluid under the skin doesn't get sticky, and the stickier it gets, the harder it is to move it. So in the early stages, people may feel that their jewellery might start getting tight.
Right.
People may feel that all of a sudden there's a slight, as I said, a numbness or a tingling in their fingers, a certain heaviness that starts coming into it. They may find that, for instance, that their shoes, if it was a lower limb or a leg issue, they might find that their shoes weren't fitting right, that their socks were starting to leave marks around their ankles. And then what would happen is they would then at that stage say, I wonder, is there something starting
Something's
here?
Not right.
And then they would end up going for some advice. Can I just flag at this moment in time? Because what can happen is, the minute I start speaking about swelling, there's going to be a lot of listeners listening right now.
Yeah, everyone's looking at their feet. And
they're kind of going, oh my God, I've got lymphedema as well. Oh, I don't believe this.
Yeah.
You could, for instance, have sprained your wrist last week, and all of a sudden you might have a tingling in your wrist or your fingers. You have a sprained wrist. Okay, so that's fine. If you're the very first person you should always talk to is your GP. So you go to your GP if you have any concerns. That's just that'd be the first thing everybody should do anyway.
Yeah.
If on the other hand, so that's my first point is, don't start worrying if you haven't had a cancer treatment and all of a sudden you start getting a tingling. Keep an eye on it and then find out, was there any other member of your family that might have suffered as well from swollen legs or swollen arms? Because it can be sometimes hereditary for people who develop it from birth.
Oh, right.
Now, the thing about it as well is that, say for instance somebody had a lot of swelling going around by their ankles, well, they may, for instance, have a bit of wear and tear in the ankle, you know, a bit of arthritis in there, and that can create a bit of swelling. So that could be something which is going on. Somebody might, for instance, be carrying a little bit of weight, not doing much exercise, and it might be a sign that their heart and their lungs are under a little bit of pressure and can't draw the fluid back out, and walking would help that. So there are many different reasons why people can have swelling. Just want to flag that as important.
Yeah,
okay?
We don't want people worrying unnecessarily.
Absolutely. But don't put your head in the sand. The thing about it is, when people go through cancer treatment, it's an extremely traumatic time for them. My own wife, she developed thyroid cancer a number of years ago. So I'm familiar at first hand the effect that it has on the family and everything else. And you know, we have young children, and it's a very difficult time. My wife thankfully has made a full recovery, and hers is a very happy story. So in the middle of all of that, the information that you're trying to absorb is so difficult. When you've walked away from cancer, people want to put it behind them, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then maybe 2 years later, there's something going on, and they're starting to get this bit of a tingle and a bit of a heaviness. Some people don't want to address it because they're afraid that they're going back into that part of their life where it's associated with that negativity, and that's the challenge. That's why I would say to people, please do something about it, you must go and get some advice.
Yeah, don't self-diagnose. It's never a good, you know, the internet's an evil thing for that sort of thing. People look on the internet for, you know, all these sort of things and you get all kinds of weird and wonderful conditions about me. Half of them you'd never even heard of. But
it's true. And I suppose as well, there was a lovely article that was done in yesterday's health supplement in the Irish Times. And the chairperson of Lymphedema Ireland, which is the patient advocacy group for lymphedema sufferers, Nina Murray, who is a fantastic advocate for drawing attention. There was an article done in that, and she makes reference to, in the beginning, she had to consult Dr. Google. So a lot of people will end up Googling symptoms. Yeah. And if you're lucky, you may come across the right information. If you're unlucky, you could go down the wrong path.
Yeah, I think you've got some other sort of weird life-threatening disease that no one's ever heard of. So how long have you been practicing for, Darren?
I've been practicing for the last 5 years. Mm. I did my training in Austria, so I went to the Dr. Vodder Clinic, which is the home of manual lymph drainage. So Dr. Emil Vodder in the 1930s would have created manual lymph drainage, and then he passed that on to a fantastic lady by the name of Hildegard Wittlinger, and she's in her 80s, and she is still teaching manual lymph drainage today. And I can tell you something, if you have the honour of being treated by her, it's as if you can just feel all this. It's as if Dr. Vodder's hands are sitting inside her hands and she's, you know, transformed that onto you. And the thing about it is that the centre in Austria, people from all over the world go there for treatment for lymphedema, okay? So the thing is, in Ireland, our health service is under, I think we call it, a little bit of pressure.
Yeah, just slightly.
Just a little bit. And the problem is that people are trying to get into the system, so they have to be referred by to the best of my knowledge, you don't have to get referred by a vascular consultant. So you get assessed, and then you're referred into the system. You may get access to manual lymph drainage. You may only get access to a compression garment. There could be a waiting list, but everything around exercise therapy and dietary and the because when you go to Austria, all those things are provided.
Yeah.
The level of service is completely different. So there is a gold standard, and unfortunately, in order to get that gold standard in Ireland, you have to come to a private therapist like me.
Yeah.
And that means that I spend my hour or an hour and a half, depending on if it was somebody with two legs that were affected or whatever was going on. And that's an expensive thing because the person has to buy the bandages. They need the hands-on work. And the condition is something that has to be managed for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
And that's a big challenge, in fairness.
Yeah, not a very, very cheap condition to have, you know. I know it's probably the lesser end of things, that how much the, you know, treatment and things cost, but it's just,
well, if I like it was quoted in yesterday's Times, in the case of Nina, she said that the cost of her high grade compression bandaging alone is €3,340 per year.
Wow. And that's just for one year.
That's just for her compression garments.
Wow.
Now, like, it isn't necessarily that everybody would be paying, and please don't think that, oh, I can't afford to go and get a treatment. Please don't. And I suppose there's one other little thing that I would say. MLD Ireland for the month of March are offering free assessments to the public.
Fantastic.
Okay? So if you get people to log on to the website, pick up the phone, and at least then they can get one-to-one information from a professional who can advise exactly what's going on. For instance, if you have a medical card, you are entitled to two custom compression garments per year. Two per 6 months.
Right.
Now, the value of those on their own are about 140. So and you can also get standard compression sleeves, which are less. So please, I don't want to turn around and say, oh, that's €6,000. I can't ever get any treatment. That's the end of it. I'm in trouble. No, Nina's case, you know, is one, and there are varying costs on it. It's very expensive, Paula.
Mm, mm.
It is very expensive. And private therapists are out there providing a service because there's a need for it. But at the end of the day, I suppose what we have to do is make sure that that there's a lot of pressure put on the HSC to deliver those level service levels needed.
Yeah,
I would much prefer to spend my time dealing with somebody who is in the early stages of lymphedema, meeting them once, going through the do's and the don'ts and giving them important advice, such as if you are at risk of lymphedema, you need to protect your skin.
Yeah.
So therefore, you must make sure that you don't, for instance, you know, cut a, you know, hard bread with a serrated knife,
right,
because obviously that could end up, you could give yourself a nick.
Mm.
You should always carry sunblock with built-in mosquito repellent if you're going on your holidays, because if you get a mosquito bite, it could develop lymphedema. Always bring an antiseptic wipe with you in your bag or in your pocket, because if you get a little bit of a nick, to reduce the risk of infection. Don't be going into saunas. Stay away from saunas, because the sauna is lovely, but it brings up your heart rate and it gets all the blood flowing around. That's a negative.
Yeah.
Stay away from excessive cold, because that can also be a problem. So if we could spend our time educating people, and fair dues to Near FM, you guys have now stood up to the mark in the fight against lymphedema. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
And education for one person, and they don't do something silly, for instance, if they're going to the airport, leave in plenty of time.
Yeah.
Don't be running through the airport with this heavy bag over your shoulder. Then you sit onto the plane and you're kind of going, oh my God, I think I'm going to collapse. And you've all of a sudden strained your shoulder.
Yes.
You get to the other side, you're in the sun. So that would then, that puts you at risk of developing lymphedema.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just about about educating people. People just need to know that these things exist. And, you know, as they say, sort of being knowledgeable and knowing about something is, you know, is obviously going to sort of help towards, you know, not a cure, but people being more, knowing more about what is, like with conditions like this that we might not necessarily hear about. So it's amazing that we have this Lymphedema Awareness Month, because obviously, like we're saying with the cancers, cancers of all different kinds are becoming more and more well documented and more spoken about in the media. And obviously this is kind of, runs hand in hand in some respects.
In some cases it does.
Yeah.
And if people could just be educated, talk to one another, then we're just going to be so much better off. And the thing as well is an important point about manual lymph drainage. It is such a light therapy that it doesn't, like, you know, it's not painful. It's, you know, the first thing is it's extremely relaxing to have it done.
Yeah.
Wearing the compression garments or having the bandaging on can be a little bit, you know, because there's a lot of pressure put on the, you know, there's extra pressure put onto the skin when we're wearing the bandaging. So people have to understand that while they're wearing the bandaging, if they are getting the intensive treatment, it can be a bit discomforting. But the problem is if lymphedema is left untreated, and then over time what happens is, in the beginning somebody might, for instance, have a swelling in their hand, but then when they put their hand up in the air and leave it for a bit, all the swelling seems to go away. But then what happens is, there's a part, what gets stuck inside the skin, you see, the lymphatic system is responsible for taking away 10% of the waste that is not taken away by the blood system. And what's left behind are the big molecules that the body can't get out. And one of those molecules is proteins. So the proteins in the skin are left behind. Now, protein has a funny characteristic. It's called, it's hydrophilic. Protein attracts water.
Yeah.
So if the protein stays in the body, it keeps drawing water to it.
Mm.
And then after a while, the body says, hold on a second here. This protein has been here for a while. We better get rid of it.
Yeah.
It's old. And it tries to munch it up, but it can't. And then it gets all kind of hardened.
Yeah.
So then what happens is the person goes from stage one, which is where I, oh yes, put my hand up in the air and then all the swelling goes away. And when they progress on to stage two, the swelling doesn't go away when they put their hand up in the air.
Yeah.
And that's where the sticky bit that I was talking about earlier on kicks in. And now all of a sudden, they might say, go to a friend, and the friend might say, oh, you're just a bit of fluid retention.
Yeah.
And what do people take for fluid retention? Diuretics.
Yeah.
And are diuretics a good idea? No, they're not.
No.
But I have to be very careful and say the following. If somebody has been prescribed diuretics by their doctor because they have a kidney issue or something, okay, they should not then come off the diuretics because that's more important than the lymphedema. So I'm not saying that people come off the diuretics, but if they're taking diuretics simply for fluid retention yeah. and the problem is lymphedema, they should not be. That is not the solution.
Yeah. So, I mean, would tea and coffee be another thing that you should really sort of stay away from? I know they're kind of like diuretics in some kind of form.
They are, because they irritate the bladder yeah. and, of course, they cause it to. So drinking water is important because you need to have constant fluid coming through your body.
Yeah.
Also, a balanced diet. So, by the way, as well, if you're accumulating too much protein under the skin, that does not mean to go on a low-protein diet,
right.
okay? They're completely separate. I don't want people turning around articles and other things happening. So teas and coffees, everything in moderation. We're not, you know, I think a little bit of common sense is the main thing. I mean, I would often say to people, you know, you should drink, you know, a certain amount of water per day, a litre yeah. and a half, 2 litres, depending. But then if somebody said, but I love me a cup of coffee, I'd say, well, that's grand. Have your cup of coffee, but have a glass of water when you're putting on the kettle. And what will happen is you'll end up then taking the water that your body will lose through having the coffee.
Yeah.
And you might end up only having 3/4 of the cup because you're feeling a bit full anyway.
Yeah.
So that's a little trick that people could do just to not get obsessed with too much tea.
Yeah, very, very wise words. Very wise words, Darren.
Final thing. I suppose on the subject of exercise, swimming is a great thing because if you're in the water, your body is immersed in water when you're swimming. So as long as you're not straining yourself when you're swimming, it's actually like wearing a compression garment because the surface water is pushing against your skin.
Yeah.
So swimming is a lovely activity. Gentle Pilates can be good, but I would very much speak with somebody who is used to dealing with Pilates and, you know, lymphedema, or for instance, somebody who's dealing with breast cancer, because you don't want to overstrain the body. Walking is good, but don't tire your body. Things like that are important, okay? So yes for exercise, yes for water. Go on to Lymphedema Ireland, which is lymphireland.com. Go on to Lymphedema Ireland, which is part of the Irish Cancer Society, and they will give you a booklet which tells you all the do's and don'ts in relation to looking after your lymphedema. Go on to MLD Ireland for the month of March. There's still time left. And get yourself a free assessment, guys. And then get the advice, because everybody will be individual. And then from there, start talking to one another.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everybody's body is different, isn't it, at the end of the day? So you're saying it's like light exercise. You know, I know we're saying exercise, but sort of a light exercise like walking and, as you said, swimming. That's sort of nothing too strenuous.
But having said that as well, for instance, people will say, can I play golf after developing lymphedema? Mm. Well, the answer is, if some people may, for instance, get rid of their steel-shafted golf clubs and buy graphite golf clubs because they're much lighter.
Oh, right, okay.
If the person has a good technique and doesn't keep whacking the ground, and then that would be good. If the person gets great enjoyment from going around and meeting their friends and going for a game of golf and, you know, play at a nice rate, then keep playing golf. It's not about, you know what I mean, reducing your activities. It's about doing it better. Get a golf trolley. You know, Mother's Day is coming, or maybe 5 Mother's Days in a row might help, because I know funds are tight. But, you know what I mean, get a golf trolley, and then you're not loading the bag around you, and then stay hydrated. And if it's a very, very hot day, go for the game of golf earlier in the morning or go later on. And all of a sudden, you're managing your condition. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. Fantastic. Fantastic. So thanks so much for joining me today, Darren, taking time out of your busy day to talk to us about this.
The waiter is ready for me now, so I better go. Bye. Thanks.